Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Hello and good afternoon. And thank you so much for joining us here on The Kim Pagano Show and restarting your day in a positive way. Go ahead, Sean. I know you're dying to say it.
The brighter side of the 805.
There you go. That's right. And joining me here in the studio is Tom and Sean. And how's it going?
Supercalifragilistically.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. All right. We got Cheryl, and she's going to be answering phones, and she's starting with us, and we're really excited about that. So also, I do want to remind any of my new friends out there to like us on Facebook. We have lots of new things happening on there, and you will be connected to a lot of great vendors and a lot of great advertisers.
And if you don't enter, you don't win.
That's right. It's just that easy. Exactly. So go to The Kim Pagano Show. And also, if you miss any part of our show, you can always go to my website, kimpaganoshow.com, and listen there. Also, it will be downloaded on iTunes. You'll be able to find it there. And I do want to remind you of our 6 o'clock show. It is our wake-up show. It is all about starting your day in a positive way on the brighter side
of the 805.
That's right. So definitely. And that one, actually, we sometimes get my husband in here, you know, on that one. So definitely tune into that one. Also, again, if you have a business and or an event that's happening in the 805 and you want to spread it, I would love to hear from you and I would love to spread the word about it. So you can always call us at 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. And in fact, write that number down because we always give back on the Kim Pagano Show. Again, 805-419-0008. Or you can email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Our first guest this afternoon is Joan Borstein. Welcome, Joan. How are you doing?
Thank you, Kim. Nice being here.
Absolutely. And she is the CEO of the Malibu Beach Recovery Center. So we're going to find out a little bit what's new there, how we can help any of our loved ones, or if it's you that are having some problems. Just, you know, there's so many great things out there nowadays, and this is all about the brighter side. We're looking at how we can make a difference in people's lives. Also joining us today is Neil Schaefer, and he is a Forbes top 50 social media power influencer. And so get your pens and papers out.
Is he going to help me out with the Facebook presence?
Yeah.
I have thousands of fans, but I don't know how to activate them, so to speak.
Let me tell you.
That's going to be my
question. Okay, there you go. All right. And then lastly, we will be talking with Sean Castrina and about his book. And his book is 8 Unbreakable Rules for Business Startup Success. So we got lots to talk about. Again, for anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of the 805. And it's really the brighter side of life. That's what we talk about here. I do want to do a little shout out for our last week's winners, Linda, Hector, Raul, Mark, William, Sean, and Alex. And I hope that they had fun with all the giveaways and stuff. So thank you again for tuning in.
Oh, before we go on, I went to the Blue and Gray.
How was that?
It was awesome. I'll send you some pictures so you can put them on the Facebook.
There you go. Very good.
It was
good.
So the cannons, I didn't know they actually use the same, like the gunpowder and everything. So you feel the concussive force hit
that.
You. They just don't have the projectiles in there.
Wow.
But it was really cool.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. And we do have some giveaways. We have Midtown Cafe gift certificate. It is a healthy cafe there, and they have really great breakfast and lunch and juicing and all that good stuff. And we've got some Urban Cafe gift certificate. And also, one of our friends, the Holiday Swing Big Band Dance is coming up, and that is Friday, December 6th from 8 to 10:30 at Poinsettia Pavilion. And I've got some tickets there. So we got stuff to give away. Again, if you are interested in being a part of our show, give us a call at 805-419-0008. Let's get started with our first guest, and let's welcome Neil Schaefer. Neil, are you there?
I am here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, you're on the 805 by the 5 and the 405 here in Orange County, California.
Okay, perfect.
Based in Irvine. And, yeah, I help businesses with, in general, with their social media. So I've written three books, just came out with a new book called Maximize Your Social. You know, I work as a consultant, a coach. I speak. I teach social media as part of a program at Rutgers University. And, yeah, I'm just looking for, just like you're adding value in Ventura, I'm trying to add value to businesses with really demystifying and deriving value from their social media program.
There you go. There you go. So tell us, what can businesses optimize their social media presence?
Well, I think a lot of businesses are sort of tweeting in the blind. they don't really have a plan, a strategy. And they often get caught up on things that may not have any relevance to their business. So, for instance, getting a lot of likes on a Facebook page is great, but I get a lot of businesses asking me the same question. I got a few thousand likes, what's next, right? How do I get actual ROI from that?
Exactly.
So it really starts with a plan. And the book I wrote is, you know, foremost looking at how to create a social media strategy. Because without a plan, you don't know what you're trying to do. You don't know how well you're doing. You don't know how to optimize things. So really try to tie those business objectives you have for using social media with what you're doing. And I think if you do that and you create a plan and you know, you take a step back and a month later you look at it, you're going to start to find ways of doing things differently to help improve upon what you've been doing.
So, Neil, for example, let's say you have a product or a service that you want to, like, for example, I have my book. There's a product, and mm-hmm. I'm trying, and I have a bunch of likes, so I have a plenty amount of views for every post I give. Do you want to do free giveaways? What are sort of the things that you would implement into a plan?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a number of different things that we would look at for a plan. And first of all is the channel. Facebook is one social media channel. There are several different channels that are available to us now. The problem with Facebook is it's the channel that everybody's on. It's sort of like the white pages. But also with the way that the Facebook news feed works and that algorithm, that most of your fans don't see most of your posts, right?
Oh, sure, because
so
it gets pushed up throughout the day. The more people post, it just gets pushed down or pushed up.
Yeah, in your
buried.
Opinion, which one do you think is probably the most effective?
And, you know, it really depends. I would definitely not stick to just being on one platform. Twitter is a great platform. We have LinkedIn, we have Google+, Pinterest, Instagram, and you know, I cover all these in the book, but yeah, I think that just being on Facebook really is a little bit risky if you haven't seen the ROI from it. You're already spending time there. Why not devote a little bit of time and start to experiment with maybe Twitter, maybe Google+, especially if you have a website and maybe you can derive some, you know, what we call search engine optimization or SEO benefits from it. But also, part of the strategy is also determining the content. And if you're always just self-promoting the book, people already know that. So it's often just sharing a lot of different types of content related to your book that almost work as magnets to really draw people in. You know, maybe it's things that you personally like to do that are related to the book. You know, it could be a lot of different things. And that comes down to really creating a content strategy to help you build out a platform. For instance, I mean, my book is all about social media strategy. I also share a lot of content of what others write about social media strategy so that people will look at me not just promoting my own content but also providing a broader perspective. And I think companies that have been really successful in social media have done that with their content.
Hmm. Okay, so talk to us a little bit about, like, for instance, blogs. That's kind of what you can do on a blog. You can bring in other experts or, you know, professionals in a certain field, so you're doing it's not just coming out of your own voice. How would you promote a blog through all the different
mediums? And in the book I talk about this, but I include a blog as a part of every social media strategy, because if you take a step back and you think, all these social networks were made for people, right? Not for businesses to push products on, even though they're all doing that now. So as a business, and even if you're an author, and you don't always want to talk about your book, what are you going to talk about, right? And I think a blog provides a few different benefits. One, it gives you what I call a social voice. It gives you something to talk about. You know, with Twitter, you only have 140 characters. With a blog post and a link to that blog post, you can provide a much deeper perspective on something, right, related to your business or related to your book. It also brings people back to your website because you never know when things on social networking sites change. But your website really stays with you forever, right? Mm. And it provides you, once again, these search engine optimization benefits that now you're seeding Google and Bing and Yahoo with more content and more ways for people to discover you. So, you know, I know authors that have literally blogged their book. Since I published my book in September, I'm starting to reveal more content from it to indirectly remind people that if they're interested in this, it's included in the book.
Got it.
You can have interviews. I often, you know, I'm actually thinking of my next book right now, and I'm actually blogging different things, and I'm trying to decide what I want that next book to be based on the feedback that I get and how many times people share it on Facebook, what have you, from my current post. So there's a lot of different ways of using a blog, but, I think it's really the first step in having a great social media strategy. Because then you have a voice, you have content to contribute, and you're going to start driving people back to your website where you can convert and make a sale.
You know, that sounds really good, and I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show here on AM 1590 KVTA, and I do want to remind you of our 6 o'clock show every Saturday, and then again, of course, 2 o'clock, and we're talking with Neil Schaefer right now, and his book is Maximize Your Social, a one-stop guide to building a social media. Now, is there ever, like, too many posts?
Yeah, when it comes down to social media, it's funny. I get asked, what's the ROI of all this? And obviously, the ROI is if your objective was to increase sales and what have you, that's where you're going to see it. Now, on the expense side, with social, it's tricky because the expense of doing all this is our time, right? And if you're a solopreneur or a small business owner, you don't have all the time in the day to do this. So it's setting aside a little bit of your day, maybe just starting with 15 minutes a day, and doing it until you see some benefits coming from it. So if you're posting too often and you don't see any benefits, then you should absolutely scale down and spend less time. You know, I know businesses, on the other hand, like an entrepreneur who sells to other businesses, and he'll spend 2 or 3 hours a day in LinkedIn, but he gets 75% of his business from that activity. So for him, it's his marketing engine. He doesn't see it as a waste of time. And I guess I'm pretty similar. I see, you know, social media as free publicity and a way to engage with people on a global scale that we couldn't do until very recently. So, definitely start slow. Like I said, 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. Start with a strategy. Start slow. Look at what's working, what's not working. You know, tweak it. And then once you start seeing the benefits, that's when you want to start to think about increasing it slowly.
Now, you talked a little bit about LinkedIn. What do you see some of the benefits from that? I was just on there this morning, and it looks like they've kind of changed it a little bit again, too. You know, when people have a new position or a different, title, they kind of do a whole write-up on it. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, indeed, they do. And, you know, all these platforms are always changing, and I think that compared to a Facebook or a Twitter or an Instagram, LinkedIn was always thought of as the boring platform, right? And I think they're trying to change it to make it more engaging in a professional way. So on Facebook, you know, someone posted a photo of what they had for breakfast. On LinkedIn, they'll update you if someone has a new job. So they do it in a professional way to build more engagement, to keep people coming back to the site. And, you know, it's working. LinkedIn is one of the top 10 most trafficked websites on the Internet in the United States right now. So there's a tremendous number of people there. And compared to a Facebook, if Facebook is the white pages, LinkedIn is the yellow pages. It's where companies are. It's where business decision makers are. So if you're trying to sell to another business or you want to sell to a professional, which is a relatively potentially wealthy demographic, like if you're in real estate or what have you, LinkedIn is a great network. It makes it very, very easy for you to connect with people, to, you know, view networks, to ask for introductions, get recommendations, increase your credibility, and there's a lot of ways that it can be utilized that is probably underutilized right now because most people just see it as a place to look for another job, which it's really evolved to become a major business platform over the last 1 or 2 years.
And now, Neil, so you, first thing you said, have a plan. probably buy your book would be a good idea. But can you could you tell our listeners some of the things that we should not be doing? Because I'm sure there's a ton of things that I'm doing, or a lot of people out there listening are doing the wrong. Like, could it be inadvertently bad for your media?
Yeah, I'd say the first thing is just to understand that when you post, there is a chance that the whole world is going to see what you post. It's very similar to, if you're only posting on Facebook and you're only posting to a few friends and you have your privacy settings on, it's one thing. But once you start blogging and you have a Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, it's very public and searchable by anyone. So it's almost like taking the same tone as you would at a Chamber of Commerce meeting or meeting someone in public for the first time. There are certain things that you wouldn't talk about. And for instance, politics or religion, or no matter how passionate you are about those subjects, if you're meeting someone for the first time, you don't know what their feelings or opinions or what their background is. So it's sort of taking that same tone of making sure that you don't potentially offend any prospective customer. I think that's step number one.
So I'm going to rename it social media manners, right? Because so many people, you're right, in the very beginning, they were like, just made cookies, went and picked up my kit. Really, we that's great. We don't care. But then now people are, a lot of times I do, because I have the brighter side, inspirational stories, things that are going to uplift people. But I think that you have to stay in line with who you are, correct?
Well, yeah. It has to be about who you are and what you're passionate about. For instance, you're a mom, I'm a dad. I don't post pictures of my lovely children or my beautiful wife in social media. It's just, maybe I'm old school, but it's just something I don't do. Others will post, tons of stuff about their family. And if you feel comfortable with that, great. But when it comes down to subject matter, if you're in it for your business, right, when it comes down to certain subject matter, you really want to make sure that it would be acceptable by anyone and it wouldn't offend anyone, because there have been lots of mistakes that companies have made of posting something without using that sort of filter and offending someone. And, once someone finds something offending in social media, that it bubbles up to the surface really, really fast. So you obviously want to avoid that. I think the other thing is understanding that social media is long-term. Building relationships with people takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And social media isn't any different. So it takes more of a long-term approach. It's like, hey, I'm coming out with a new book. I'm just going to do it for 3 months, and that's the end of it. You're really not going to be successful. So, having a very, very short-term, almost campaign-like approach to social media is another mistake that I've seen a lot of businesses make in the past.
Neil, one other question, okay, is what about a personal page versus a business page on Facebook?
That's a great question. I believe that you should try to separate your business from your personal. So I would recommend absolutely having a business page. Not to say that you can't talk about your business to your friends, because if they're your friends, they'll support you as well. But a business page allows you to, for instance, advertise using Facebook ads. And, if I wanted to target, mothers that are between 35 and 40 that live in Ventura that have also liked my competitor, I have the ability to do that with Facebook ads, even though I don't live in Ventura, and you probably know a lot more of these people than I do. And that's what's exciting about that product, that you need to have a page. The other thing about a page is it provides you what Facebook calls Facebook Insights, and these are analytics. So you can actually go through in a very, very simple-looking screen and see, wow, these are the posts that got more engagement, that got more shares, what have you. These are the times that I seem to get more engagement. This is how I should be posting more about this content and less about this other content that didn't get as much engagement.
Yeah, you can revise what you're posting. Is there an analytics for Twitter? Because that's one of the deficits I saw, that Twitter didn't, because I like that I can track exactly if I post something and it was really popular, when the time of day, Facebook pages gives you all that, those insights, all those analytics. But I noticed with Twitter, unless someone retweets it or comments, I don't know how well it's doing.
It's really hard to understand Twitter.
Is there any analytics for that? Third party?
Yeah, Twitter actually just started providing its own analytics, but it's only to its customers of the Twitter ads product. So You'll have to sign up for Twitter ads. I don't even know if you need to actually start a campaign to get access to it. but they have some analytics. But, you know, Twitter's a funny platform. Compared to the others, Twitter has always been very open, and there's lots of, you know, dashboards like Hootsuite and TweetDeck that have supported it. And there's a number of analytical tools out there that can help you analyze that. For instance, I use something called Tweriod, T-W-E-R-I-O-D, and it will actually analyze based on when users are online and when they engage with you, the best times to post and engage with your audience. And there's a number of, if you do a search for, you know, Twitter analytical apps or Twitter tools, you'll find a bunch of them. But that's one that I would definitely recommend for that. There's also something called Crowd Booster, one word. There's another one called Social Bro, funny name, but very serious analytics. So, yeah, with Twitter, unfortunately, there's no Facebook Insights, and you're going to find information in these tools that not even Twitter provides you. But there's a lot of different tools out there that can give you a lot of insight as to how to improve and maximize your Twitter.
I appreciate you being on our show, and I want to ask you one other question. Is there a good program that's not going to cost everybody anything that will post things for you so you can be almost time, you know, in the morning you kind of post for the whole week and it sets it up there for you?
Yeah, the program that I recommend for that is something called Buffer. B-U-F-F-E-R. Now, Buffer has a free and a paid, and basically what it is you decide, okay, I want to post at 9 a.m. and noon every day of the week, and it will create a buffer for you, so, and you just merely add post to that buffer, and it will automatically post at those times you have determined.
Very good.
So that, I think, is the most
great. Well, some really great ideas here. Again, maximize your social, and with Neil Schaefer. Where do we find your book?
It was published by Wiley, so it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It should be at your local bookstore, and if it's not, demand it.
You got it. All right. Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to finding out more about you. All right. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're going to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Sean Castrina, and we're going to talk about 8 unbreakable rules for business startup success. That's what we're doing here on The Kim Pagano Show. Again, our phone number is 805-419-0008. And give us a call right now. Leave us your name and number, and you will be entered to win one of our gift certificates. 805-419-0008. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Grow your business by advertising in Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly target audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of residents, business owners, and visitors who are ready to become your customers. And mention KVTA to receive an upgrade to color for no additional cost. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com or 653-0791.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. We've got full studio, and we've got Tom and Sean. We've got Joan in here. We're going to talk a little bit about the Malibu Beach Recovery Center. We've got lots of things happening here. We've got Cheryl, who's learning about our show, and you're going to be hearing about her, too. And our next guest is Sean Castrina, and his book is 8 Unbreakable Rules for Business Startup Success. Welcome, Sean.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm well.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your book and some of your insights.
Okay. Well, basically, the book is The 8 Unbreakable Rules for Business Startup Success. So, you know, it's an exhaustive study, basically, through personally owning a lot of businesses and taking a two-year period trying to read everything I could on the subject, on trying to kind of reverse engineer things. Why do so many businesses succeed and an equal amount fail, with the payoff being as great as it is to be an entrepreneur? You know, it just fascinated me, the subject, and you know, I just wanted to see if there was some repeatable rules on why they succeeded and why they failed, and I came up with 8 that I found that were consistent with, you know, every business that I had, and I have a great group of poker buddies that are all entrepreneurs, and we always sit around and, you know, bounce around why so many businesses fail, why ours seem to do so well, and so that's kind of the culmination of it all.
Okay, so where do we start? Tell us, okay. what are the 8 questions? Let's start there, or the 8 common things.
Well, the first thing is that people get caught up with searching for this great business idea. I constantly talk to people that want to start a business, but they're looking for a diamond, and the diamond doesn't exist. There are good business ideas. They're not all great. So you can take a good business idea and be very profitable with it. So some people, you know, that's one thing. I always tell a person, if you give me a quality, successful person, he'll take it or she'll take an average idea and make it successful. So the first rule is that the person needs to be right. If a person's never had any success at any point in their life, and it doesn't have to be a big success, but they've had none, it's kind of hard for their first one to be a startup venture.
Okay.
So the first rule is that you need to have the qualities of successful people. And that's just good time management, you know, highly motivated, competitive, you know, a degree of organizational skills. It doesn't hurt to be likable, things of that nature. So the first rule is, you know, getting you, the business owner, ready to own, you know, to own a business.
Go in with the right behavior, so to speak.
Exactly.
All right. So then, once you have the right behavior, you set up a game plan for, and it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't have to be a diamond idea. It just has to be a good idea. Now,
exactly.
Now what would that person do?
You know, the next thing is that you need to be able to identify what a profitable idea actually looks like. And so, you know, you're going to have a lot of ideas that you're thinking about starting, and the ability to kind of mine through those to find the one that has the most potential for profitability is a key secret that, you know, that people need to know. Too many people start businesses and they don't do, you know, any initial study of the area to kind of find out, well, you know, how competitive is it? You know, I'm looking to charge A for my product or A for my service, but my competition is, you know, not near that price. So, you know, you have to have a business idea that is needed in your area, and you need to do some research to know that. And there's ways to do that. You know, that's a little bit more exhaustive in the book, but just generally, you need to qualify your business idea.
Okay. And then how do you go from the idea to actual bringing money in, the monetization?
Yeah. Where do we start making money? Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's what everybody, you know.
Yeah. Well, the key is, I mean, making money is just an exhaustive to-do list. You know, there's nothing cute about it. There's nothing fun about it. It's a massive to-do list that, you know, any quality person who's got ambition should be able to put together in, you know, from as little as 30 days to 90 days. You know, obviously a tech business might take a touch longer, something that requires manufacturing, but it's just a huge to-do list. And we list the to-do list in the book, but it's from A to Z, you know, between 30 to 60, you know, items that you just have to do. There's no shortcut to that.
Sean, and I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Sean Castrina, and we're talking about 8 unbreakable rules for business startup success. And I know that you talk about develop a support group, okay? But when you have a lot of competitors in the same business, how do you develop a support group? And talk to us about that.
Okay, yeah, that's a part of building your team, which is a key rule in the book, is that you need to form a team. And one is a team to encourage you. They don't, you know, I would, to be perfectly frank with you, I don't hang out with my competition in any of my businesses. I don't think it's a good idea, and I believe you keep networking. You know, networking can be a little overplayed. So I wouldn't recommend hanging out with your competitor just to start with, but regardless of that, just people that encourage you. There's just natural people that you have in your life, and if you don't have them, get some new friends, but you need to have some people that have the ability to make you feel pretty good about yourself at the end of the day, because being a business owner, especially initially, you will have days where you're like, what in the world have I gotten myself into? And you just need to have a few people around you that just, you know.
And you know what? I'm so in line with that, because with my show, I always tell everybody, you need your own cheerleader. You need your own. So I just wanted to, so that you're kind of in line with me about your having your own support group. People that
Absolutely.
Love and admire and believe in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And hire people you like. It's so, you know, you're starting a business. You get to form maybe your first team in your whole life that's yours. Hire people that have energy, that smile, that you're just going to enjoy having there.
Right, that lift your day. That's
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Hiring is so important. You have a chance to hire cheerleaders. Your customers will appreciate them, and you as the employer will definitely appreciate hiring them.
Right, I love it. Okay. And so what you have 20 questions or 20 answers on your website. What is that?
Well, what I did is kind of a naive approach a few years ago. I told my wife, I said, it would be great if I can work part-time for a bank and I could listen to their business plans and then tell the person who's trying to borrow money, this isn't good and you're probably going to lose your money. And my bank quickly laughed at me and said, Sean, we really don't want anybody to talk people out of borrowing money from us to start businesses. So I said, well, great, I'll put these on the website. So newbizcoach.org, that's newbiz, B-I-Z, coach.org. I put together 20 questions that anybody who is your friend and loves you should ask you before you start a business. And some of them are extremely simple, but some of them are fairly painful questions that most people don't ask before they start a business.
And Sean, what's that website, just so our listeners?
Newbizcoach.org. That's newbizcoach.org. And if you go on there, it has great resources. But the 20 questions, you can answer them, and I answer all emails. So I get actually a copy of your 20 questions back to me, and I may illuminate one and say, hey, you might want to go look at number 7 a little closer before you move forward. Kind of like the Seth Godin idea. I will answer anything like that because I think those questions are so important.
Sounds good. And so what is it that you actually do? I mean, is this like you've learned this from something that you do?
I'm an entrepreneur. At the end of I'm always thinking. I bought a web domain 2 days ago for a business that's percolating in my head. I'm supposed to be promoting the book, and it's like I said, okay, I'm going to take a year off. I'm not going to start any businesses. My wife just laughed at me. She goes, there's zero chance. So Monday I bought a website. Tuesday I went to lunch with somebody potentially expanding one of my businesses. I've started, more than 15 companies and own,
I love it.
Quite
you're
a few.
Talking,
I'm in the game at all times.
I think Sean and I think everybody probably in this room is that. I wake up, even, my kids, I have one son that's out in Dallas, and he calls me up and goes, what do you think of this idea? And I'm like, oh, God, he drank the lemonade. It's like it's in our blood. I'm always thinking of a new gig, a new game, but at some time that could possibly hurt you, too, because you got to keep on your own straight path, too, correct?
Well, what I always say to people is, you need to know how to qualify ideas. I have a crock pot way. I have, certain questions that I run every idea through, and I give them a certain amount of time, 30 days, and typically it'll get rid of the bad ideas, and the good ideas will stick around. I keep them on a big whiteboard in my weight room. I work out a lot, so in my basement I have a big whiteboard, and I'll write an idea, and, within 3 or 4 weeks, 9 out of 10 of them get removed. But so you have to have a process
to
qualify
a good idea.
Ideas.
Okay. And do you have a list that you try to conquer every single day? Is that how you work?
I believe in being priority, managing your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely start every day with a blueprint for my day, but I don't beat myself into the ground if I don't, finish everything on it. I try to get done everything that I think. I have a list of things that must be done today. And if I don't, they have consequences. So they'll always get done.
Right.
But, but then I have my B list, and that's things that should get done, and C list is things that, if everything goes well, maybe I'll pick up my dry cleaning on the way home.
Okay, I like it. I have that. I always kind of tell everybody I do 5 things that I have to, my major priority, and then I always pick one thing that I really just keep pushing to the side, and I'm like, okay, I'm really going to handle this one today.
That's a great idea, and I tell people that. I always say, you do one thing every day that you absolutely don't want to do because it creates your dislike muscle.
Oh, there you go.
You got to develop that. Leaders, successful people, get things done every day that they absolutely don't want to do. We all have to pile our, we all have to push our 20 pounds of poop around every day.
You know what? I like that. You know, it's interesting. It's like, okay, it's the end of the year. It's coming up. I'm like, I always make everybody a physical appointment. And so it's been on my list. It just keeps going. I'm like, okay, I'm just sitting down and doing it. It's like, why do you keep putting this off? It's such a, you know, but it's like, I did it. It's done today. And so, you know, it's just stuff like that. And you got to kind of have some order to your life. I think that's it. So many of us just get up and hope for the best, but you have to really put some things in line. So I think it's
make
a great
a list
idea.
And work in the secret that I found is work in uninterrupted blocks of time. And you need to know how you work. Some people work better in 30-minute increments. Some people work better in an hour, 2 hours. But structure your day in these uninterrupted blocks of time. You have a period that you're going to do phone calls, a period that you're going to do emails, a period you're going to do this. Problem is people do stuff all during the day. Do your phone calls at two different times. Do your emails at two different times. But don't do everything all day.
Right.
They're distractors. You'll
burn yourself out. Exactly. I love it. Sean Castrino, 8 Unbreakable Rules for Business Startup Success. Where do we find your book?
It's at Amazon, and the title is 8unbreakablerules.com. And we encourage you to go to our website, newbizcoach.org, as well, if you just need some coaching, some encouragement. But the book is 8 Unbreakable Rules, and it's on Amazon, and it has a workbook even, a companion workbook that doesn't exist. Nobody's kind of said, hey, maybe you can fill in all the blanks and take you all the way through. We actually developed that as well.
I love it. Thank you for what you're doing, and I'm excited to look through it and read it. And again, you know, it's got some really great ideas. You're welcome. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're going to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out about Joan, and we're going to find out about Malibu Beach Recovery Center. They've got a new cookbook coming out, and I love to cook. It's all about that. But you know what? Not only that, it's about adding value to your life and really, you know, filling your cup. And I think that, Joan, you guys did that. So it's all healthy. Anyways, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Give us a call right now at 805-419-0008. Leave us your name and your number, and we will get back to you and let you know if you were one of our winners.
Grow your business by advertising in Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of residents, business owners, and visitors who are ready to become your customers. And mention KVTA to receive an upgrade to color for no additional cost. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com or 653-0791.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And Sean, stop, you know, complaining about working out.
Oh, it's horrible.
You and Tom, I'm telling you.
Just started again. And, I mean, I was doing normal, like, body weight stuff, push-ups, pull-ups, but moving weight around, oh, it just makes you so sore.
Yeah, well.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm going there. I'm going there.
Let me motivate you.
We moved it into our room, our treadmill. My husband's like, why are you putting all this stuff in our room? I go, because then you will have to walk by it if mm-hmm. you don't use it.
Well, also, you know, one of the things that our last person had, Sean, had suggested is make like definite blocks of time
for
yourself.
If I don't make an appointment,
1 or 2 hour block of exercise time is just as important as making all those phone calls and emails.
Definitely.
I know you're looking at me.
Yeah,
right. All the ladies in the.
No, but I get it. You're absolutely right. If I don't block the time, I was like, we have coffee every morning. Let's go have our coffee and then let's move into mm-hmm. the bedroom to work out.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, okay. Enough,
I know,
enough
yeah.
information. No.
Exactly. All right. Well, in our studio today, we have Joan Bornstein, and I'm really excited to hear about Malibu Beach Recovery Center, and she is the CEO of there. But not only that, you have written a cookbook, right? You got lots of chefs that cook for your home there and everything, right? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your passion and why you took this road and how you got started.
Well, why don't we go, let me explain that Malibu Beach Recovery Center is an alcohol and drug treatment center certified and licensed by the state of California. We know now from science that addiction, alcoholism is a chronic brain disease. And we are one of the few treatment centers in the country based on neuroscience. So we are all about, through a change in lifestyle, but a simple change, helping people raise dopamine levels so they don't have to use drugs or alcohol to self-medicate in order to feel good. We're all about a healthy diet. We do a lot of yoga every day. We take these special supplements to raise dopamine levels. And then because our clients start to feel good and look good really quickly, even though they come in terrible shape, we employ the stellar team of therapists who are able to help them find a new way to go forward. And we also introduce them to the 12-step program.
So I was going to ask you, so do you do the 12-step? Because I know there's a lot of places that don't do it. Some do it, right? Now, is it also the spiritual? Do you go through, what if somebody didn't want to do the 12-step? Is that something that you work with?
Well, we aren't like treatment centers who just do 12-step and take you to 3 meetings a day. It's just, we find that
it helps you.
But when you complete treatment and suddenly you're out in the real world, you need a network of people who understand you. And chances are, unless your family's in recovery, they don't understand you and your friends as well. So we don't insist upon it, but really if you go to AA or NA meetings, you will find a group of people who, when you feel urges to use again, you're down, depressed, you can call them.
Right, support team. Like what we just talked about, right? A support team. You know, and I think that is amazing. I've been to meetings, and I've been there to support a lot of different people. And I think that if you have, something in your life that you can't get past, a lot of people try to do it on their own. And sometimes you really need the support of a rehab center, you know, that can really help you.
And a lot of these, you know, there's probably a lot of redundancy and overlap with a lot of the rehabilitation centers out there. But what I like about Joan's particular place is that they don't just put you on methadone if you're coming off of heroin. Their solution is for a long term, because you guys realize that it is forever at this point. It's a brain disease that they're going to have to live with forever. And that I like that you're implementing lifestyle changes as opposed to just drug changes.
Because the truth is that, like, if you have high cholesterol, if you have hypertension, if you have diabetes, if you change your diet and you change your exercise program, you can change the numbers. It's the same with addiction. You can't cure it, but you can put it into remission.
So what they do there is at Malibu Beach Recovery Center is they tailor it to you personally, correct?
So pretty much.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. So tell us, what is a day like there?
We are not like a, there are other Malibu treatment centers who take you shopping. We don't do that. So the clients get up, they have about half an hour to.
Do they have to get up early?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
They have to sort of make their beds and organize themselves. They have morning inspiration at 7:30. They do an hour of Kurma yoga from 8 to 9. Kurma yoga is what we copyrighted, and it is breathing, because the clinical studies show that this kind of yoga will expedite brain repair faster than anything else.
Okay.
So then after that, we have breakfast. So we run a French low glycemic diet. The food is amazing, but there's no white sugar, there are no white carbs, there's no caffeine. So far, nobody really complains because the food is amazing. We have great chefs. And then they have personal time, and then they do group, and then they go back to yoga, another hour. They have lunch, and then they have individual therapy, group therapy, family therapy, and introduction to 12-step.
How often do you do family therapy?
So we do a weekend, the third weekend after you come in, the whole family comes together for a weekend. But prior to that, one of the therapists will probably call your husband, call your wife, call your girlfriend, whoever, and start the process so that when by the time they get to family therapy, they already know quite a bit about addiction and the kinds of things that both sides have to solve in order to go forward, or that the family and the child need to change.
I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. It is The Brighter Side of Life and The 805. And we're talking right now with Joan Bornstein. And we're talking about, she is the CEO of Malibu Beach Recovery Center. Now, is this only for adolescents?
It's not for adolescents at all. It's 18 and over.
Oh, it's okay. So it's, I mean, I'm sorry. Is it only for 18 and over? Now, do you, you don't ever see any younger?
No, we're not licensed for under 18.
Okay, so you need a different license for that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, great. And how long have you been open?
Since 2007.
Okay. And why did you go down this? Are you a therapist?
I'm not. It was just sort of by serendipity that we got into this. We're really from the film industry. But it kind of got me because nobody in the film industry ever said, thank you for giving me back my life. And I hear it so often, and I feel so good about it.
Oh, you just gave me chills. Okay.
I keep going.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. What is it usually a 30-day? Is it 60, 90, you know?
So 30 days is a number made up years ago by an insurance company. In my opinion, it takes about 30 days to get it all out of your system. And then it takes, if your insurance or your finances will give it to you, another 30, 60 days to start to love yourself again.
Right.
And to be able to... get ready to integrate back into life.
And to create sustained habits, I would imagine.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't just be brought, like, pushed back into your old world. You're going to open that medicine cabinet, or you're going to, you know, grab the bong again. You're going to do something that's your old lifestyle habit. So it almost, you're saying it, you need an extra 2 months just to kind of develop the toolkit.
Exactly.
Right. Now, what kind of foods? I know that that is really important in recovery. And what kind of foods do you? I know you just wrote a cookbook, right? And what is the name of it?
So the cookbook is Dopamine for Dinner.
Right. Okay. That's a great name.
And it's based on your program. Could you tell us like a little bit of how your program is defined by the yoga and the food, and then tell us how the Dopamine for Dinner kind of.
And before I do want you to, I want you to take notes right now. Is you want to go on to my Facebook and post your email and your name on there, or email me your name at Kim@KimPaganoShow, because what we're going to be doing is we have huge contests coming up. I'm telling you, with my social media, with Joan, with Malibu Beach Recovery, there's so many things that you will want to get involved with as my listeners out there. So definitely go on The Kim Pagano Show, like our page, so that you are entered in and so that we can get in touch with you. So what are we going to be doing, first of all, Joan? I'm kind of excited about that.
So first of all, I just want to explain that... for those that don't know, dopamine is the neurotransmitter in your brain that makes you feel good. So most people feel good. They go buy a new dress, they have a new friend, they go to lunch or whatever. Most of our clients have very low dopamine levels, either because they're genetically predisposed to addiction or because of the environment and eating too much fast food. It seems strange, but and the drugs and the alcohol all combined. So this is about actually foods that are dopamine rich and low glycemic, and it just makes you feel good and look good, and you change your...
So let's just, really quick, what's five foods that are dopamine-rich right off the bat?
How about five that aren't?
Okay,
so many.
Okay. Well, what's your highest? I mean, I know kale. Oh, my gosh, kale is amazing.
We do kale salads all the time.
Right, that's huge, and that's very popular now.
One of the things I've found just with discussing this with Joan is... it's about you got to almost cut out certain foods that lower or prevent you from creating dopamine on your own, as opposed to like a food that has it packed in it.
Sugar-rich
foods are what really, and almost everything in all segments of society where we look for food, there's sugar everywhere. Whether it's refined carbs, sugar put directly.
But I have a question for you. Don't we have amazing desserts?
Oh, okay. So in the cookbook, there are a every day, in the meal plans have these desserts in them, and you would never know that you're eating like a recovery diet, so to speak. It's was prepared by four French chefs, and they did a tremendous job making you forget that you were eating a specific diet. So,
okay. So what is one of the desserts? Since I don't have my book in front of me yet.
There's the Brazilian wedding cake, which instead of using white flour, they use either ground walnut or ground pecan, and they layer it with puree of apricot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's topped with whipped cream, and that is on the diet, and it's really popular.
Really?
And the chocolate mousse is
there's a decadent chocolate cake that my clients just never give up on.
So you've really noticed since 2007, as you've had this, right, that food really makes a big difference, correct?
Huge difference.
Yeah. And I mean, I see that when I eat really good and I fill my body and I fill my soul, that I feel better. So as opposed to fast foods and stuff like that. So is that, tell us a little bit about your book and when that's going to be out.
It's going to be out in time to buy it for Christmas and give it to all of your friends who are either in recovery or should be.
Okay. And, you know, I think that the numbers have gotten up so high now, even in our adolescent, as opposed to, it's something that we used to not be able to talk about. And now it's...
Yeah, actually, I'd like to ask Joan, what are you seeing a lot of? Are you seeing a lot of the illicit drugs, like the heroin, the cocaine? Are you seeing the alcoholism? Are you seeing prescription drugs?
I heard
that's on the real rise. What do you see, and what, in your opinion, over these course of these years, what do you see as the biggest problem?
So, I mean, we kind of specialize in prescription drugs because we discovered it when we opened, and there really is an epidemic sweeping the nation and California, and we've been very active politically, but not Democrat or Republican, just in advocating to get certain things changed in California to be able to put up red flags so that when people go to a doctor, the doctor can immediately check on a website and say, oh, you know, that someone was like getting the same prescription from a doctor yesterday.
Right, like Sudafed.
That's called smurfing.
Right.
Yeah, you go to pharmacy to pharmacy to pharmacy, and you keep fulfilling. You go
to doctor to doctor.
Yeah,
yeah, and they
get
don't
all
ever
the
look
scripts.
At it, and they just give you another
and
one.
You go,
and,
to,
yeah.
you go to a CVS, you go to one, yeah, and that's
so
a big
call
problem.
We call it doctor shopping and pharmacy hopping.
Oh.
So okay. we've been very instrumental with my alumni. My alumni have gone to Sacramento to testify.
Really?
And say, you know, I survived a prescription drug epidemic. And I was really heavily addicted. And if this website had been up and funded by the state of California, I might have caught it long before I was so bad off I had to go to rehab.
Oh, wow. You just give me chills. Wow. I think you're right. And you know, there's so many doctors out there that do help us, but there's so many doctors that just give you a prescription and say go away and, you know, kind of fulfill your needs. And they're not helping.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they can't either afford to go to a rehab or, you know, they can't. So, or maybe like there's a mom at home or a father listening and he knows his teenage son is going through. The great idea behind this Dopamine for Dinner cookbook is even if you don't want to necessarily go take the steps of an intervention and to take your kid to a rehab per se, you could start cooking for them and providing these healthy meals to them. And all of a sudden their brain chemistry is going to start repairing itself.
And you can go to a website and buy this amazing supplement that raises dopamine levels and helps you sustain them.
What is that?
The actual
it's
supplement?
Called, yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's called synoptogenics.com, but I'll get it for you for your website.
Okay, please.
And then we're now beginning to put parts of the yoga program up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
which
you
is
could actually
be a book as
you
well.
Could actually sort of try to do it at home. If you can't
so
afford
what is,
to come
so,
in
yeah.
or whatever, you can.
You can do the program at home because there's going to be a Karma Yoga book that's going to be accompanying also the Dopamine for Dinner cookbook. Okay. So you're going to eat. You're going to basically have the program at home if you want it.
Right.
And what's the name of the next cookbook?
Oh, I forget. Oh,
Legal Desserts
legal
to Take
desserts.
To an AA Meeting.
Oh, I like that. I like that. All right. Well, gosh, if anybody's just joining us right now, we're talking, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Joan Borstein, and we're talking about recovery. We're talking about Malibu Beach Recovery Center. And it sounds like, you know, it's so expensive for people to have this if they don't have coverage or anything. Do you have any other ways that, I mean, like, I thank you that you're doing a book and that they can do this, you know, yoga at home. But is there other ways that they can help themselves?
They can try to do it through 12-step. Some people are successful that way. But I would just try to lead, you know, start by trying to lead a really healthy life. And you've got to first get past the cravings, which is harder. But that's why I would say the supplements are really cheap. And just try to change your lifestyle. Just like you don't have to spend $40,000 a month to change your numbers on diabetes or high cholesterol or hypertension. You can just change your lifestyle.
I love it. I mean, I think that's the biggest message here. Give us the number of people that want to find out more about the Malibu Beach Recovery Center.
It's the admissions line is 1-800-366-8101. And most of the time, you're going to talk to me.
Okay. And that's really, that's nice because it's very personable. And I think that that's, you know, it makes it feel different.
You have a website as well?
It's MalibuBeachRecovery.com. And I'd like to say that we recently opened a second treatment center. It's in Brentwood near UCLA, and it is one of the only upscale treatment centers for women only.
Oh, for women only.
Because okay. We found that a lot of women, professional women, didn't want to go to treatment with a bunch of young kids, number one. And number two, they really had issues they wanted to talk to that they wouldn't want to talk about around men.
Wow. Well, you know what? Okay. I'm excited to learn more about it. I love having you on. I'm excited to see your books and share them with my listeners. And for anybody that missed any part of our show, you can go on to my website, KimPaganoShow.com, or iTunes and look up Kim Pagano. Also, I put it on Facebook now so everybody can hear it there. Become a friend on the Facebook on my Kim Pagano Show there so you can be entered to win. There's lots of stuff that I do to give back. I'd love to hear from you. Again, let me end my show with a moment of happiness. In the end, it's all about what you want to be, not what you have. Thank you so much. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show on the brighter side of the 805.